This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shofatim, chapter 14. In this chapter, we begin to observe and learn about the activities of Shimshon in his capacity as a shofet, as a judge, or in this case, really more as an advocate or protector of the Jewish people. Now, his way of wreaking havoc on the Pelishtim is quite unorthodox. He doesn't wage war against them or organize an army, mobilize troops against them. Instead, he acts alone as an individual. He becomes enamored with a certain woman who is one of the Philistines, one of the Pelishtim. And although his parents are quite resistant to allowing him to marry a non-Jew, they see it as a bizarre choice because they don't understand that he has some kind of an ulterior motive here, that there's a divine plan behind it. And over their objections, he insists on marrying this woman, even though they're very reticent to support it. They don't want to support this kind of an action, this kind of a betrayal of the Jewish people. They don't know what he has in mind. So one day, Shimshon is attacked by a lion, which he tears in half with his bare hands. Later, he passes by the carcass of the lion only to find out that some bees have settled inside it, and now there's honey all over the lion. He takes some of the honey and brings it home to his parents. They enjoy it as well. He doesn't tell anybody about the lion. He doesn't tell anybody about the fact that he found inside the carcass of the lion at a later time honey. Now, this at first seems to have nothing to do with what's going on. We want to be learning more about the marriage of Shimshon, about his choice of this Pelishti woman. But this parenthetical story becomes integrated into the narrative, as we're about to see, because at the wedding feast, the 30 sort of groomsmen that he's given to assist him, he challenges them to answer a riddle, and he says he will give them 30 changes of clothes and 30 bedspreads or bedsheets if they can solve it. The riddle is as follows: from that which eats comes food, and from that which is strong comes the sweet. Okay, so this is obviously a reference to his experience that from that which eats, meaning the lion, came food, the honey, and from the strong, meaning the lion, comes the sweet, which is the honey. Now, really, no Pelishti could figure out what Shimshon is referring to here. And of course, Shimshon, as we saw before, didn't tell anybody about this incident, so there's no way anybody could know about it. They try to solve the riddle. They have only 7 days to do so during the 7 days of wedding celebration, and they pressure Shimshon's new wife to ply him for the answer. They threaten to harm her family. They make all kinds of threats against her that are very frightening, and so therefore she does put pressure on him, and by the last day of the festivities, he finally reveals to her what he's referring to in his enigmatic riddle. She smuggles this information to her fellow Pelishtim, and they win the contest, of course, unfairly and unjustly, but they win. Shimshon correctly accuses them of having gotten the answer illegally from his wife. He even perhaps implies or insinuates that they might have had an inappropriate relationship with his wife. However, honoring his word, he delivers the 30 changes of clothes and the 30 bed sheets. But the way that he does it is by killing 30 Pelishtim and taking their property in order to deliver it to those winners. So we see that from this unconventional vignette, this bizarre kind of action that Shimshon poses a riddle to the people that he knows they can't solve, places tremendous pressure upon them, and then in the end allows them essentially to solve the riddle by allowing the answer to get to them. And then he can accuse them of injustice and he can wreak havoc on them, punishing Pelishtim in this way. This unusual approach highlights what Shimshon is really about, which seems that he needs to always portray himself as responding to the aggression of the Pelishtim, as avenging himself justifiably and in proportion to the acts of the Pelishtim. So he always maintains this veneer of fairness and equity whenever he strikes. And we see that he'll even mention it explicitly and say, now everybody will see that what I'm doing is just. Now everybody will agree that what I'm doing I'm entitled to do. So it's he melodramatically expresses some indignation before he engages in these vengeful acts. So in this way, he never declares war on the Pelishtim. He doesn't claim to be on the other side, opposite them, or to be you know, mobilizing any kind of organized effort against them. He doesn't have the authority to do that. He's not really an acknowledged leader. But what he does is he operates within the framework of what in their society is considered appropriate and acceptable. He utilizes the loopholes of their moral system and honor code to the extent that he can, and that way he inflicts maximum damage on the enemies of Israel. He's not interested in the infrastructure, the government, the armies, the princes, the kings, the governors, whoever it is that's in charge of the Pilishtim. He simply wants to wreak havoc upon the community of Pilishtim that continually bothers and is a thorn in the side of the Jewish people. He basically terrorizes them so that their chokehold on the Jewish people is loosened as a result of his constant onslaught. But there's no real calculated effort here to overthrow the Pilishtim or to replace them. That's far out of the bounds of anything that Shimshon imagines himself capable of doing. His goal and his purpose here is simply to shake up the Pilishtim, to weaken them, to deflect them, to distract them, to undermine them as much as he can so as to limit their power to cause harm to the Jewish people.